Going to be reading this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. There's a funny little story about some men in a locker room at a health club. There's one of those old flip phones sitting on the bench, and it rings. So one of the gentlemen picks up the phone and he says, Hello? And on the other end, Honey, it's me. Sugar, are you at the club? Yes. Great, I am at the mall two blocks from where you are, and I saw this beautiful mink coat. It is absolutely gorgeous. Can I buy it? Well, what's the price? It's only $1,500. Well, okay, go ahead and get it if you like it that much. And I also stopped by the Mercedes dealership and saw the new model at a really good price. What price did he quote you? $70,000. Okay, for that price, I want all the options. Great, but before we hang up, one other thing. Okay. It might look like a lot, but I was reconciling our bank account and I stopped by the real estate agent this morning and saw the house that we had looked at last year. It's on sale. Remember the one with the pool, the English garden, acre of park area, and beachfront property? Okay, how much are they asking? Only $650. A magnificent price. Okay, well then go ahead and buy it, but only bid $620,000. Okay, sweetie, thanks, I'll see you later, I love you. Bye, I do too. Man hangs up, folds the phone, holds it up in the air, and he says, Does anyone know who this phone belongs to? He was giving permissions which he really did not have the authority to give. But on the other side of that, Jesus does have the authority for all that he tells us we can do and all that he knows we can do. And before he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples three promises, and they were not counterfeit suggestions and okays like the man on the cell phone. And those promises you can count on. You can take them to the bank. The whole meaning of the ascension of Christ was given authority over all the world. The Father told him, You now have authority over all the world. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to help those who believe Him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven, far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Pastor David Rousseau tells a story about when he was a young man in high school. He calls it one of the low lights in his life. He was on the football team, and they had gotten to a point where the opposing team was about to punt. Well, when the punter got up there, he kind of worked his way through all the people and blocked the punt. And he's standing there looking at the ball. And he hears the coach from the sideline going, "Don't just stand there, pick up the ball." But he's so caught up in the idea that he managed to block the punt that he didn't get it. The punter picked up the ball. And he lost the opportunity to make a touchdown for his team. David Rousseau says that you can kind of say the same thing about the two angels that showed up by the disciples as they were watching Jesus go up to heaven. And they said, "What are you standing there looking into the sky for?" Basically, what the coach told him in high school, "Don't just stand there, pick up the ball." And that's what God expects us to do. He expects us to be His eyes and hands and feet here on earth. Jesus promised that He would send us the Advocate, the Comforter, whatever you want to call it, the Holy Spirit. He promised us that we would receive that Holy Spirit, and that would be our connection to God. That He wasn't leaving us, which the disciples, these poor disciples, they thought, "Oh my God, he's leaving. What are we going to do now?" But you got to understand, the disciples were fishermen, tax collectors, poor people under Roman rule. They were not educated. They were not sophisticated. They were basically nobodies and thought their message is not going to go viral. St. Paul described them like this in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that you may not boast before Him." The disciples were a lot like you and me. Just normal folks. Everyday people. They were not special. And if you notice in the Bible, God tends to pick people that you would least expect to do His work. They were kind of clueless, just like sometimes we're a little bit clueless about what Christ's plan is for us. He was leaving physically, but spiritually He would still be with us. Through the Holy Spirit. He would empower us through the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that Jesus has the power to promise us those things. You never have to doubt that Christ is going to deliver. He will deliver. Many of you know one of my favorite sayings is, faith is not believing God can. Faith is knowing God will. Jesus has that power to make it happen. Don't just believe it's going to happen. Know it is going to happen. Christ's first promise to us was that He would always be with us. Life gets tough sometimes. And sometimes we feel like nobody cares. We're just out there on our own, a little island. Nobody worries about us. Nobody cares. Jesus cares. There's a funny little story about this 12-year-old boy. His dad had sitting out in front of this clock shop. The little boy goes in to get helped. And the clockmaker, the shop owner, kind of ignores him. He's waiting on all the other adults that are in the store. Finally gets around to helping this 12-year-old boy. And the little boy goes out to the car. His father asks him, "What took you so long?" And the little boy says, "Well, the man waited on everybody in the store but me. But I got even." His dad kind of looked at him and, "How?" "Well, I wound and set all the alarm clocks while I was waiting. It's going to be mighty noisy at about 8 o'clock. And you can kind of appreciate his feelings of disappointment and frustration. Everyone was having their needs met but him. Nobody was paying any attention to him. And we get that way a lot of times in our lives when things happen. Nobody notices, nobody cares. But we cannot jump to that conclusion because somebody's always paying attention. Jesus is always paying attention. And he knows what's going on in our lives. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. It's that conduit, that communications link between us and him and God, that part of the Trinity. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, he was a very well-known preacher back when I was young. He wrote a lot of books, things like The Power of Positive Thinking and those kinds of things. He was a very upbeat type person. He tells about how when people would come to him for counseling because they had problems going on in their lives, they would sit down and they would go through whatever it was causing this problem. And once they got through with talking about the problem, it didn't matter what the problem was, he would look at them and says, Jesus has the power to help you. And he would tell them, I want you to sit there quietly for the next 3 minutes and think about nothing but Jesus. You can think about scripture or anything related to Jesus, but I want you to sit there quietly and shut everything out and think about Jesus. And he said, always. By the time that 3 minutes was up, they had an answer to their problem. And that's key to us. When you're having a problem, don't get frustrated and don't give up and don't decide nobody cares. Stop. Get quiet and think about Jesus. Listen. You'll get an answer. He talks to us. Not like me and you talking, but he talks to us. And he will provide you with an answer. He promises us that he will always be with us. Life happens. The big test is how do you handle life when it happens? Christ's presence in our lives can make a big difference. He promised his presence. He also promised us his power. Paul writes, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. He gives us power through that Holy Spirit. It's about faith. Do you believe you can make something happen? If you believe strong enough that you can make something happen, you can make it happen. The Bible tells us to pray as if it has already been given to you. And it will. But too often in our society, we try to find the human solution to the problem, something earthly. And that causes problems because when you try to work it out yourself, generally you wind up messing it up. Or if you try to rely on the government or our schools or our financial institutions or somebody else, even though they have their place in our lives, you're probably not going to get the solution that you want. But if you trust Jesus, you have faith in Jesus, you rely on the Holy Spirit that's within you, you will find that answer. You have to be kind of amazed about human beings. There's two sides here. Human beings can be wonderful people. Loving, kind, caring. And that's something that you see in our churches. We all care about one another. We fellowship with one another. We are concerned about when things happen to one another. We are joyful when good things happen to one another. We are loving, warm, and kind. The bad thing is, the other side of human beings, that flawed part of us, we may have the best intentions, but we don't do anything about it. Society today has gotten us into this I, me, my attitude. I'm not worried about what's happened to Joe over there because I've got my own problems. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to rely on Jesus to take care of our problems and their problems, Joe's problems. Because through us, we can help Joe. Because we have that power. All you have to do is believe and you can move mountains, he tells us. Several years ago, there was an article in a newspaper. This poor young man who'd been in the Vietnam War. He was working in a factory. He was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. They didn't call it that back then. They just thought people had problems when they came back from Vietnam. Well, the other employees in this plant thought it was funny to make big, loud noises. They drop things or bang things together just to see his reaction, to watch him duck and cover, till finally got to the point where he wound up in a psychiatric hospital for 6 months. That's the flawed side of human beings. They should have been loving and kind and understanding and realized we don't need to be doing that to this poor guy. Maybe we should care about him and let him know that we're here for him. And that would have been the good side of human beings. It's heartbreaking when you see things like that happen where there's such cruelty in the world. But if you believe in Christ and you believe in the Holy Spirit and that it works through you in the world, you can have power over your life. You can have power to help others. The third thing he tells us, and what comes out of his ascension, is he promises us a priesthood. While he was ascending to the Father, he left the work of the kingdom in our hands. We are those Christ has called to finish his work. I mentioned earlier, we're his hands and eyes and feet and ears and all that stuff. We are here to help the world. We are here to make things better. And that's what he left us here to do. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us find those situations and get through them and make it a better world. There's a story of a young Filipino boy. He's sitting and reading his Bible, and this minister notices that every morning he's in the same spot reading his Bible. So one day he sat down by him and he got to visiting with him and asked him how he got to where he was reading his Bible every morning. That he was pretty impressed by that. So the young Filipino boy, young man, said, "Well, a number of years ago I came to America to study law at one of your great universities. And that first night that I was there, a student came to my room, one of the upperclassmen, welcomed me, and in the course of the conversation asked, 'Do you go to church? Where do you go to church?' So the young Filipino said, 'Well, I go to this particular denomination church.' And so the upperclassman, he says, 'Well, I can tell you how to get to the one here,' and helped him, drew a little map and told him how to get there. Sunday came, and it's pouring down rain. And so he thinks to himself, 'I'm staying in bed because I haven't been to this church. I don't know how to get to this church, and I'm not going to get out there and get soaking wet.' About that time, a knock on the door. This upperclassman standing there in a raincoat with two umbrellas. He says, 'My church is just around the corner. How about you come to church with me this morning?' So we got up and got dressed, and they went to church at this upperclassman's church. And he says, 'And I have never been back to mine.' And he said, and I decided to change my major from law to theology. And I was called to minister. And that's why I am here today. I minister to my people back in the Philippines. And that's the kind of thing that we should be doing. We should be like that upperclassman. And in asking people, do you go to church? Why don't you go to church? Or, great, I'm glad you go to that church. But if you don't go to church, how about coming to church with me? I was impressed here a couple years ago. I was looking for one of those portable buildings and went by this place where they make them. And it's run by Mennonites, by the way. And in the course of looking at these different buildings, he stops and he looks at me and he says, do you go to church? And I thought, wow, nobody's ever asked me that question. I said, yes, I sure do. He says, well, I wanted you to know that if you didn't have a church, you're welcome to come to ours. And I'd never heard that before either. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. But it shouldn't be amazing. It should be normal, everyday kind of stuff. We should be asking people about their spiritualism. We should be reaching out to others with the same love that we have for everybody here. People feel the Holy Spirit in different ways. I know it gets a bad name sometimes because we get the ones that are jumping over pews and dancing and doing all those crazy things or speaking in tongues and all that wild stuff, and people think, that's crazy. But however you feel the Holy Spirit, that's up to you. You want to raise your hand, that's great. If you want to feel the Holy Spirit, that's great. But just remember that the Holy Spirit is with you and in you and fills you. And if you'll let Him, He will guide you. Scripture teaches us that God is love. God cares. He wants to care for you. Christ was given all power, and He gives that power to us. But you have to recognize that power, and you have to use that power and feel that power within you. When that Holy Spirit enters your life, you should really want to jump for joy. But we tend to be a little bit subdued. But you should feel that Holy Spirit. You should be elated that it has come into your life. And you should use that Holy Spirit. Because that's Christ's presence, Christ's power, and Christ's mission for us to go out and make disciples in the world. Amen.